keep my commandments. That's the part of your covenant you got to keep. And if you willfully sin, you're not in the ark anymore. If you willfully sin all the time, it means you love sin more than you love God.
What if you willfully sin once?
What's that?
What if you willfully sin once?
Well, the Holy Spirit will... here you go. I didn't say I never sin. If I do get in the flesh and I think a bad thought about a man and I go, man, that was crazy. Lord, cleanse that from me. I don't want that. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me in your blood. In your... I repent of it. I'm made clean. But it's, I'm talking about willful sin. Living worldly, being part of this, being part of the culture, keeping pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. All of this stuff is not of a holy God. You have to repent of it. How, you know, we haven't got here, but I want to talk about it. How we dress our temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is beautiful. I love to teach this. In Genesis 3, everybody, churchianity tells you clothes don't matter. Clothing does matter. Jesus said everything comes out of your heart and comes to the outside. Your words, if I use the F word, is it a lip problem or a heart problem?
Out of the abundance of the heart.
Okay, how about if I dress lasciviously and show my body off? Is that a body problem or it's a heart problem? In Genesis 3, yeah. God sees Adam and Eve. They covered themselves in aprons. Aprons don't cover you up. What did God do? Do you guys know? Have you studied this?
He killed a bull and covered them.
It actually doesn't say bull. Skins. It says an animal. It says animal skins. If you look at the Hebrew word, it's a tunic. A tunic is an untucked long garment. And why is that? It covers up our private parts. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cover our private parts. And it's an archetype of Jesus to come. The first covering of blood,
what's
shedding
an
of blood.
It's an archetype of his blood covering our sin.
Right. But, okay, but... since you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, what God taught never changed. Everyone in the Old Testament wore that. Everyone in the New Testament wore that. Christ is coming back in a robe, and we get robes of righteousness. A tunic is like a robe. My point is, that theology is very important because it shows how you dress shows your heart.
This just came to me. It's Romans. Where is it in Romans? It says, Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believes.
That's not the law. No, see the law, you're talking about Torah law. So there's pre-Torah things. Are you married? You are.
Yes, sir.
So, hey, you're keeping a pre-Torah law. You know why? Well, first of all, wedding rings aren't part of it. That's a pagan culture.
Sure,
that comes along.
Yeah.
But a marriage I'm talking about. Pre-Torah. God.
I consummated my marriage.
What's that?
I biblically consummated my marriage.
Okay, so
without the ring. So.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, we used to wear rings, but we got rid of them because they're a pagan practice that we don't do. But anyway, God ordained husband and wife, one man. That's pre-Torah, Genesis 2. God creates the earth and says, take dominion. That's Genesis 1, pre-Torah. So we still do keep pre-Torah law. Here's one. In Genesis 9, Noah comes off the ark, and God says, eat of anything you want. What did he say he couldn't eat?
The one forbidden fruit.
No, I'm Noah.
Oh, sorry.
Blood.
Blood, yes.
And then that's echoed in the New Testament. Acts 15 says, don't eat blood. So if you like beef or any meat, and I had a friend one time, he used to eat it so rare and cold, he said it was still moving, you know?
Yeah.
God says, drain the blood because the life is in the blood. So there are pre-Torah things we keep. When Paul says about the law, he's talking about Torah law.
Okay.
We keep the law of Christ, which is the New Testament, and we keep pre-Torah things. How we dress is pre-Torah, marriage is pre-Torah, don't eat blood is pre-Torah. And the four things in Acts 15 that they gave the New Testament saints to keep, no fornication, that's in Genesis. No idols, that's in Genesis. No strangled meat, no blood, that's both in Genesis. So I teach pre-Torah laws, not Torah, and the New Testament. So, but again, everything that you do is a reflection of Christ. And if you fit into the culture, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they come out of the world.
Right.
The world is going to be judged. You know, people get mad at me. They go, oh, the love of God. I go, yes, the love of God. What about the judgment that's coming? And they go, what? 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. He's coming in flaming fire to destroy. It doesn't say to just scold and to destroy. Do you know how it finishes? All those that do not know God and don't obey the gospel. He came as a baby in a manger. Everybody loves Christmas. Oh, the pretty little baby, the cute little baby. Why did he come? To die for your sin, my sin, our sins. To be the Lamb of God. And he's coming as an angry lion in flaming fire. And so this is a great, great problem of American churchianity. They're drunk on grace. They're drunk on love. And they don't realize if they are outside of his love, which is Christ, and you only get the love of God in Christ. That's it. You miss what he did 2,000 years ago, you're outside of God. You're outside of his love. And unless you repent and obey him as fruit, we don't teach works saves you. We teach works proves you have a saving faith. Because if you have a saving faith and the Holy Spirit of God is in you, you hate all sin, and you're going to go, amen. I see it in the word. I hate that. Yep. Yeah, amen. I hate that. You're not going to make excuses and go, oh, come on, man, we all sin. That's not the Holy Spirit of God talking. It's called Holy Spirit for a reason. He's not the compromise spirit. He's not the worldly spirit. He's not the fleshly spirit. Last time I checked, he's the Holy Spirit, which means set apart in all your ways. So if you heard me preaching, let's say you're that guy. I see, I knew that guy was watching. Praise God. What if he heard me preach and I said, and all you, I let the F word fly. What would he think of me?
You know, this guy preaching, he's a hypocrite. He's preaching about sin and he's sinning himself.
One word would disqualify me.
Hypocrite or sin?
Would disqualify me as a man of God. Yet people make excuses for their actions, their dress, how they live in the world. You see what I'm saying?
Here's a thought I have. I hear what you're saying for sure. And when you say this is how a man of God dresses,
God's word.
That's
in a tunic, in a long untucked shirt that covers your private parts. That's right. What God always did. He did. Wouldn't it be an awesome world if you didn't have to look at us men? Didn't have to look down so you don't have to see women's body parts flopping
all
over.
Yeah, I would love that. But
obey God. But you got to do it too then, otherwise you're a hypocrite.
But.
And also women are to cover their heads. You notice my wife has her head covered. Yeah. That has been, by the way, evangelicals taught that and believed it for 400 or 500 years until feminism rose up about 100 years ago and all the pastors said, okay, take off the head covering, put on pants because they were going to leave the church. Evangelicalism is feminized. All the great men of the evangelical faith, they're not great men to be. Spurgeon is a heretic. Edwards is a heretic. Calvin, Luther, they all taught exactly what I teach here. They had some things right. A blind squirrel finds a nut. Evangelicalism has been feminized and dumbed down to now let the women dress up. I was standing outside a Lutheran church the other day, and they had a guy outside watching me. Thought I was some violent guy. I'm just out there preaching. These teenage girls come walking out in yoga pants. They're like 13, 14 years old. And it's like, whoa. And I said to the guy, if they walk by, I said, you wicked men. Jesus said there'll be a millstone. It'd be better if it'd be cast around your neck and thrown in the sea than to let these little ones stumble. What's next, I said, in churchianity? Pretty soon women are just going to be painting their skin. You see what my point is? This is all serious stuff. And as soon as you get, it's like when you're a ship and you're in a harbor and the water is beating on the ship and there's a hurricane coming and you see the rope fraying. It's fraying. And the sailor goes, Captain, we need a new rope. Evangelicals' rope frayed so long ago, it snapped loose and they're out adrift in the world. They've linked to the world to reach the world. You don't reach the world. If I'm going to reach you with the word of God, I reach you right here with the truth of God. I will not reach you in there. That's compromise. That's sin. So before I would respond to a man that says, I don't think you're right, I love to be tested. I need the word of God. I need scripture to say, go be like the world. Go keep sin. Don't.
But I could look at you and be like, this guy's, he's the friend of the world, man. He's got technology. Look at, like, his arm is exposed. It's causing me to lust. I love skin.
Okay, let's go there.
Here's the line. Okay. If you're here, I'm like, oh, I can see too much skin.
No, hold on. You know, God's standard.
Do you get my point, what I'm saying?
No, what is God's standard? God's standard in the Bible is a long untucked shirt. It doesn't talk about your arm. So you don't hear me teaching, you should cover up your wrist. It doesn't talk about that. What did I say? You cover up your privates.
Okay.
That's what God had you cover. So you're kind of stretching it, going it too far. Now technology, let's talk about it. I had an amp that I used. They told me I need a permit, so I shut it off. I obey the law. They use amps.
Right.
Your car uses an amp. Football teams you watch use an amp. Your pastor uses an amp. The banks use an amp. Walmart uses an amp. Gas stations use an amp. Police use an amp. I show up with an amp and they go, oh, you can't use an amp. This isn't worldly. Let me give you a definition of worldly. Yeah. So I live in the world,
yeah,
right?
Not of the world.
I'm not of the world. So God created the trees, the earth, everything. I love that. Now you have a system of the world. God says work or you don't eat, men. So now I got to work. So I got to go into the world work. I don't. I retired. I fund myself. I retired to do this. So now we got to go into the world. I got to buy food. I travel. We used to have a homestead where we raised all our own food. We gave that up to travel. I couldn't sit here and be talking to you guys, which I love, if I was sitting at my homestead just enjoying the good life, going fishing and hunting all the time. So we sold that. We got rid of that. So I got to go to the store and buy food to keep me and my wife going.
That's worldly, though.
The world, no, hold on. What is worldly is that...
From someone's perspective.
But you're wrong. It's not God's perspective. What's worldly is that which is of the world that is against the word of God. So worldly is a woman showing her body off. That's worldly.
But what does that mean, a woman showing her body?
Not dressing biblical. Covering herself. The Bible teaches in 1 Timothy 2:9 that a woman should wear. Here's where translations matter. King James.
King James only?
No, no. Okay. I use the King James, but I look at the Greek words. I look at the Greek words because the translations are what they are. Translation is a good example. 1 Timothy 2:9. It says that women should dress in modest apparel. Okay. Have you guys seen modesty change?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's objective versus subjective.
But it doesn't have to be. Go to the Greek. You know what it means in the Greek? Modest apparel means neat, orderly robe.
But then what is neat, orderly? That's subjective, objective.
No. Well, neat and orderly just means, again, you could go look at those words too. It just means in order. It means carrying yourself properly. The important point is the apparel. It's a robe. It's not shorts. It's not a tube top. It's not skin-tight clothing. You cover up your form. So going back to worldly. Worldly would be anything. Okay, a computer. I use a computer. It's worldly. No. It's worldly if I go and I use it to sin. Football, porn, garbage. Yeah. If I take my car, the computer's no different than that car. I have a van that we live in. We live in a van. Yeah. I can take that van to the bar and get drunk, or I can drive and preach the gospel and I can go buy groceries. It's a thing of the world, but if I use it in the wrong way, it becomes sinful and worldly. I can use it for God's glory.
Could you use that argument about a concert like this?
No, because we went back to the components. The guy teaching there has a false gospel. Yeah. It's full of immodesty and impropriety. They're using instrumental music that's fleshly. Romans 8 says you can't please God in the flesh. You must be in the spirit.
What is fleshly?
Fleshly means is when it comes to God, God orders his how he wants to be worshipped. You don't tell God how he wants to be worshipped. He tells you. And he says you can't worship.